This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome into the show here on a Cowboys Monday. The Mike McCarthy press conference coming up at 2:30 here. Ladies and gentlemen, General at your service. Salute to you. There's Broadus. You have Lucius Alexander in the pimp cup over there at Master Control here. He's set to go 5 hours flawless radio producing, engineering, hosting, I believe video coordinating as well. You know you can watch us at 105 through thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Eric Chiafalo was in the house. Salute to Zach Wolchuk. He had midday duties. They're working with the KMC Masterpiece. They did a heck of a job. How you guys doing here today?
Hanging tough. Yeah, hanging tough. Yesterday was a real slap in the face for four quarters. That stung. That hurt. I'm sure the post game was pretty up there in terms of volume brought us. But, yeah, we bounced back. Now we bounce back. And I'm actually appreciating a good bye week right now. My body needs it.
Oh, yeah, I feel that, dude. I was out there in the driveway over the weekend trying to hoop, and a little too much too soon, Brian.
Was it the kids taking you to task?
I'm still feeling the residual effects some 48 hours later. You know, I got the better of it, but it took it out of me. You know, yeah. I think she only got one field goal. I was trying to give her the elite defense that she's going to face, you know, at the eighth grade level.
Sure.
And blocked a lot of shots. You know, I was impressing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up the next morning, and it's been tough ever since. But not as bad as it was for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
817 says this is a double mic drop. You fire both McCarthy and Zimmer.
Yeah.
And that's fine if that's what you want to do. I think they could get much better coaches. You know, I don't feel like that's doing justice to how deteriorated this roster has gotten, Brian.
Well, the problems yesterday on defense, you didn't have enough. Even if a healthy defensive squad yesterday, that would have been a tough assignment with the way that the Lions run their scheme, the way that Ben Johnson attacks you, the way they set things up, their ability to run two backs at you, their offensive line that we talked about it leading up to the game, that they're really not interested in your down linemen. They're interested in getting up on your linebackers because they know they can secure blocks one-on-one. So it made it very, very difficult that way. If you're a Cowboy fan and you want change and you want hope and all that, and this is probably going to be something that you, if they change the coach out at the end of the year because McCarthy's contract's up and they don't win enough games and all that, here's your hope. Your hope is they do a real coaching search.
Yes, please.
That's your real hope. And if they don't do that, then as a Cowboy fan, you should continue to think about, well, now this team is really not giving me any hope. You know, you need a real coaching search. You need to go out there and get a new defensive coordinator and get a new head coach and get, you know, and think about these things that, you know, Mike Zimmer and I, everybody knows he and I are friends. Mike will tell you they're not playing well enough. I said that Mike would be a button up crew. They haven't been button up. They still give up way explosive plays. It's been a problem for them, you know, but if you're going to make a change with the head coach, conduct a real coaching search. That is your hope as a Cowboys fan, because you know they're going to draft. You know they're probably not going to sign anybody in free agency. So your hope is, we're going to draft. Great. But how are you going to coach this team? You know, it needs to be a real and exhausting search if that's the case. You don't need to, hey, let's bring in, you know, Marvin Lewis and have a good old laugh and a dinner. And then, let's have another drink with Mike McCarthy, and this is our guy. If you're Jerry Jones and you're 82 years old, you need to ask Will McClay, Stephen Jones, Adam Pacifica, Todd Williams, everybody that's involved with that front office, give me the list of all the coordinators or head coaches that move the ball, that call plays, that we think, whether that's pro or college.
Mm-hmm.
I need all the names.
Yeah.
And then as you work through these names, then you need to figure out, okay, well then, if I'm going to hire you, who is your offensive line coach? If I don't like your name, I'm not hiring you. If I don't like your defensive coordinator, I'm not hiring you. This needs to be an extensive. You got beat by a very well-coached team yesterday that has a good roster. They have a very, very good roster. They lost their best player yesterday. But for some reason, I kind of feel like that team's going to be okay because of the toughness that they play with.
Yeah.
So you know, that's my hope if as a Cowboy fan. You know, the season doesn't look good right now. You know, there's a lot of problems that you have. And so the evaluations now, do the autopsy on, you know, and you got several weeks left, but do the autopsy, what you think. And if you make a coaching change, make sure it's an exhausting search.
Yeah, you can't settle for a guy who won the Super Bowl 15 years ago again. You know, and I don't know if the Joneses know what they should be looking for. I don't know if they have the appetite for that kind of work. You know, you mentioned the name Will McClay.
Yeah.
I would ask, you know, a group of younger people like Will McClay and Dak Prescott in there. You know, I think somebody has to recognize, you know, that trends are happening in the NFL, and you need to find somebody who can coach that and play call that.
Well, you're married to your quarterback for 4 years. You're married to your wide receiver. That should be item one on the next hire. Who is the guy who could come in here and get the absolute most out of that position? Because right now you're not getting the most out of that position. You know, at least this year you're not.
Mm-mm.
Last year, you know, he was second. But it's a totally different looking attack right now. You know, and I kind of feel like that, you know, the quarterback let you down a little bit yesterday. The play caller let you down yesterday.
All of them.
The offensive line coach let you down yesterday. The offensive line let you down yesterday. You know, the one thing you couldn't do in that game is you had to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Your defense was, you know.
And the turning point was the interception, just not seeing it.
Well,
you know, you were looking like, hey, we can go back and forth with you for a while, and then that snapped that momentum.
Well, you're down 10-3. You decide to hand the ball to Ezekiel Elliott several times.
Oh my god.
You're still down 10-3.
I told you they needed to pass on first down, more chances.
The thing about it too is you decided right before half to go for it. You felt like that you needed to go for it on fourth down, and you tried to run a couple of little pivot routes, and you threw the ball to the smallest guy on the field, you know, and he was completely covered on the play. So now you give the ball to the Lions. Next thing you know, it's 20-3, and now it's 27-3 with them getting the ball to start the second half.
Felt like the Packer game.
Yeah. You panicked a little bit there. You panicked. You felt like, you know, and your play wasn't good. That was not a good play call. It wasn't a good route, good coverage. You know, but it wasn't probably something.
It was so bad. How can you have back-to-back weeks where everybody's scratching their heads with QB1 and wide receiver one? How can you have in the end zone turnovers that make no sense to anybody?
Well, you try and run it, you know, and we'll get into it at 3:40.
It's
today.
Just the fact that these guys can't get on the same page is insane.
Well, the thing about it, and this is what's interesting to me, and I'll talk about it now here since we're visiting, is the ball the route that Lamb ran that went vertical, and then the ball went to the outside, the out.
Oh, yes. He
threw the ball in the out. You know, if I'm Dak, I'm looking at that because Brian Branch, the safety, standing over the top. He's standing over the top, and CD runs the route into the coverage. So basically, you got a guy like the corner and the safety sitting there, and he goes vertical on the route. And Dak, I'm going to say this. If you ask Dak right now, he would probably say, I'm not going to throw that ball in the middle of that safety standing right there. I'm going to throw this out, and I'm going to tap, and I'm going to get a first down, and we're going to keep moving here is what we're doing. Now, not to say I'm not washing my hands of Dak, because Dak had some terrible plays.
No, I get it. One of those guys was probably right on that play, but the fact that they can't be on the same page.
Can't be on the same page.
Is so aggravating.
Seeing the same thing, and then the interception that he throws to Branch, there were two of them. The second one was a terrible pass. The first one, though, I mean, they don't even see, he doesn't, Branch is not fooled. You're thinking, oh, wait, they run like kind of like they're going to run a smoke screen over there. And Tolbert kind of gives it that action. Branch never moves. He's like thinking, no. And then he just sinks. And Dak, I guarantee you they ran that play three times during practice this week. And every single time the corner bit on, you know, okay. And then you throw it over the top and you keep throwing over the top because you're like practicing it. It's like, all right, that's a good look.
It's definitely going to work out like that on Sunday, boys.
And then in the game, you got a really highly intelligent safety that's standing there. It's like, you're not going to fool me with this smoke screen fake.
Well, the Cowboys don't have an opportunity to get a good look as it pertains to going up against a high IQ safety. So to Dak's credit.
Yeah. Okay, at 877-881-1053, who wants this job? Asked the 214. They say not many. I think that's wrong.
There's not many that would turn down the opportunity to come coach here. It's a matter of, do you have the acumen upstairs to know what kind of a coach they should be looking for, what kind of a coach can give you an advantage. We've seen this front office make enough correct personnel decisions to have a roster that's close. You know, you need talent, you need salary cap management, you need great coaching. And we have only seen the Cowboys try to get it done with one of those. If you can put the coaching element in place, I think Will McClay and the scouts are going to get back in another good drafting cycle and put the Cowboys in a spot where they can reopen the championship window. But not if you're fighting a tactical disadvantage and a salary cap disadvantage. You know, the teams that get it done really have a keen understanding of fighting the fight to get an edge at every level in every possible way. And then they're adding free agency and trades on top of that. So I do think it all, you know, really comes down to Jerry Jones and his vision. And when you get a head coaching hire, I think it's another opportunity to reevaluate everything, you know, and your priorities in this search and what we believe in as a football team. And every time you bring in a new staff, maybe those guys can have great ideas, you know, that can enable a quarterback like Dak. But I do tell you, it was disappointing. I don't know what you can expect. If the guy doesn't have a run game, he's got one good wide receiver who he's not on the same page with, and now he doesn't have protection. Like, there, I don't know if there's any quarterback that spins that into 30 points yesterday. You know, I don't want to be too tough on Dak, but it was brutal, you know, like watching how he failed to execute and the inaccuracy,
he missed some throws.
Yeah.
He did miss some throws. And, and the pressure is something that Dak has kind of dealt with, but he's generally pretty good with that. But yeah, everyone's talking about the ball that went down the sideline to Tolbert and the sun and all that. You know, he didn't have a chance to step up. That was all arm there. He had no chance to even step up to throw that ball. If he steps up, I think he throws it far enough down the field that Tolbert probably is going to get a touchdown out of that.
225. Yeah. I mean, I think when things start going bad for Dak, it spirals in a way that affects his decision making and makes him an even worse version of himself. I think, you know, when you see things go bad for the Cowboys, there's plenty of evidence to support that.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't overcome. Once you throw that interception there in the red zone, everything is over. I think they end up with under 5 yards of total offense in that second quarter after that.
Wow.
They can't do anything. They're completely handicapped, and it's deer in the headlights. It's deer in the headlights for your star quarterback.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, and he's got little to no help.
Yeah,
but he's not doing much to solve the problems either.
No,
his pocket presence is awful.
Yeah.
How many quarterbacks ran? Baker Mayfield's running for almost 40 yards against this team. Every quarterback that went up against him, it's playing man coverage. I can go steal 3 or 4 first downs. Dak Prescott's laboring for 1 yard on a breakdown scramble. Okay, let's do it. He's got nothing from that standpoint of his game.
Makes you want to visit that ankle brace conversation from the offseason. Like, how affected is he? You know, he's obviously getting old. Turning down running opportunities. The question is, can he even take advantage of them now if he wants to?
Geno Smith had like 48 rushing yards against these guys.
Okay. The goal now is to tank, says the 225. You know, I think
they won't tank. They'll naturally lose games, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about trying to.
Yeah. They can naturally lose games.
Yeah. But the fact they're not bringing in anybody, I think, is let's just get through this season. And if we make the playoffs, we make the playoffs. But they're not going to desperately cling to anything, and I think that's the right thing to do.
Just keep playing the young guys.
Yeah,
that's the thing. McCarthy even said it himself, and I think Mike's coming to the realization that he might be, you know, he's like, well, I've dealt with this before. I did it, you know, in Green Bay, because the injuries that they suffered and stuff. He goes, these young players will be better for it. He might be developing young players for somebody else is what he might be doing. Yeah,
they weren't developing Tyler Guyton yesterday.
No,
I like the 972. My heart's not in it, boys. It's all jokes from here on out. I'm kind of there with you.
Yeah, congrats on that, dude.
Yeah.
Guard your heart a little bit.
You know, I sometimes all you can do is joke to prevent yourself from crying.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm brought to tears by this football team, but
they don't care about your heart. Yeah. They don't care about it.
No.
And they showed no shame yesterday, and we'll get to it a little bit later on in the program. But, I mean, my goodness, you talk about like a coach. Why would a coach not want to come here? Well, coaches are used to their owners being a little bit more maybe business-minded than football-minded.
Yeah.
But when you come here, it's your owner and it's your general manager.
Yeah.
Who cares more about the dollars than the wins and losses. So if I'm a coach, I'm of course side-eyeing this thing. I'm like we're doing a tug of war here on the rope, and it's me versus a lot that's too much to handle. I don't know how many coaches you could really bet on to be successful. Would love for them to scour the earth and find the best one, but even the best one is going to have some struggles here. You're handcuffed.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think all you can do is manage what you can control as a head coach. That would be, you know, a guy with just an A-plus understanding of scheme and what's working today. And, you know, you pair that with a good scouting department, they got to get back to drafting. Yeah. You know, if you watch this team play, they're starting to resemble a young, disappointing identity. And that's what they have in Mozzie, Scooney, Guyton now. Young, disappointing. You know, it's once you start messing up your first and second rounders, it's not long until that is who you are, Brian.
I think the thing that I would say that about Mozzie, I agree with that on about Mozzie.
You think Guyton's playing well?
I think you have to give him more than six games.
Jury's still out. That's fair.
And I'm just saying that just as a you know, I think you have to give him an opportunity there to, you know, to me, just go ahead and play it out with him. Try and get him experience.
Sure.
Your linebackers.
And until then, you're young, inexperienced, and unqualified.
Well, your linebackers were a young group yesterday that really, really struggled with the way that the way that the Lions scheme. I think young players are generally going to struggle. The thing that we've misevaluated really about this offensive line is plug and play. Because for years we've said plug and play, and it's always worked out. And we automatically assume that putting BB and Guyton in there would be significantly better for plug and play. I think like the center right now is, like I say, he's struggling with a little bit of some of the things that's happening to him in front of him. With Guyton, we'll see how that goes. I mean, he's given up pressures, but your right tackle's given up just as many pressures, and he's gotten a contract extension and been here longer.
Yeah, that's tough. That is tough.
Now, as a whole, I think their offensive line is probably not as good as Brian Braz told you they were.
Well, the good news is they're young and they can improve upon that. I was really hoping to be talking here on a Cowboys Monday about a huge win or at least a close loss give us hope.
Give me a moral victory, man.
I don't think any of us picked the Cowboys to win this game. Right?
No, we didn't. No.
But the thing about it is disappointing is you believe that your offense could move the ball on these guys, you know, and you didn't. You didn't block very well up front. Your routes weren't very good. You weren't open nearly enough, and your quarterback wasn't very good, and your play caller was poor.
All right, so we got to run.
That's a bad combination.
We'll do the G-Bag of the Day immediately upon our return because Mike McCarthy's press conference is scheduled for 2:30 here in the Nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Mike McCarthy's press conference scheduled for 2:30. We'll get to him here in just a minute. But it's time for the G-Bag of the Day. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Now into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius with your G-Bag of the Day.
Can you hear me? Do I sound good?
Loud and
sound
clear.
All right.
Hey, Lucius.
Hey, man, how you doing? I appreciate that food.
You're good, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the penguin.
The penguin's good? Yeah,
I appreciate you getting that one off. I like that.
Yeah.
I like the penguin.
I want to catch the latest episode. I didn't get to catch it last night.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's
good.
A great show.
Good show.
All right, let's see here. I think this is day three for our guy. We got the influencer fresh out of the DFW. He's an influencer online. He goes around and asks people, how much do they make? What do you do for a living? And, you know, all that type of thing. How much do you pay for your mortgage or rent? He's a good guy, but he was trying to do his thing, right? Let me slow down. I don't know if he's a good guy. I don't know the fool. I don't know him whatsoever. So let me not say that. Yeah. All right. But he was going around asking people, how much do you make? He was at a restaurant, and I believe the manager or the maitre d' said, sir, not here.
Excuse me, sir. How much do you make a year?
Sir, you can't be recording our guests.
How much?
Sorry.
Excuse me? You're a 9-to-5. Please don't talk to me like that.
Depends on the year.
Yeah.
You know what? Go make someone a Caesar salad, you cockroach.
Wow.
Seriously.
Who are you?
What?
Bradley Wellington III? Do you think that's going to stop me, you peasant? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. Oh, man. I bet his family's like, so this is what you do on the internet?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So you are besmirching the Wellington name, sir.
Yeah, the Wellington, sir. The Wellingtons. We get the vibe right on a Monday right here real quick, man.
They call it Stormy Monday.
Yeah.
But Tuesday's just as bad.
Yeah! All right, let's get to this right here. Timberwolves OG Sam Mitchell.
Uh-oh.
Used to be the coach of the Raptors at one point in time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He crashed out on his co-host during the NBA TV pregame. Crashed out. I give you a warning every Friday. Please don't crash out, people. He didn't heed the warning. He did not heed the warning. They were talking about coaches getting gold medals from coaching in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Apparently, they do not get gold medals.
Okay.
Wow, I didn't know that. And Sam Mitchell's not a fan of that either.
Hey, Sam, what do you think about the fact that Steve Kerr doesn't get gold medals, head coach?
Yeah, I saw that. The coaches don't get medals, I guess. It just tells you what international, how they value coaches. Not at all.
I'm surprised.
How do coaches don't get a gold medal?
I'm surprised coaches get a paycheck for this show. You know, I think, like, jeez, maybe you should do this pro bono.
He said what?
You know, last time I looked at my check, it's pretty close. I'm taking donations. Why don't you come up off some of that money you got since you're over there bragging about it?
Yeah, about it.
I'm not bragging about it.
Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you rent your beach house out down in Florida during the hurricane? Or do I need to go on? How about your townhouse over in Buckhead?
Hey, what's going on here, Sam?
You want to call me out? I mean, come on.
I think
you screaming broke and hungry. Let's just see it. You know, I know what you have and where you live, young fella, so you need to stop.
I think we have snitches on the show today.
No, we don't have snitches. We have truth tellers.
Sam Mitchell.
We have truth tellers. So you're the one who crying poor and destitute up here when... Do I need to keep going on further, more and more? Or do you want me to stop right now?
Go to this game between the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors.
You're going to stop messing with me on national TV. Oh. I done told you about that.
Told you about it.
Hey, do I need to give out the address? Because you're not at home right now.
Wow. Look at this. A game in Seattle.
Yes.
Sam.
I missed that place.
He later went on to give out the address.
He did. No way.
Yeah, he gave out the address. Brother crashed out.
Holy cow.
He crashed on out. He got triggered. He told the man, hey, man, don't play with me.
Right.
I'm not the one to be played with.
Right.
Yeah, go play with something safe. I'm not the one.
Wow.
But clearly, my man, he didn't heed the warning. I like the reaction, though. Hold on.
It just tells you what international, how they value coaches. Not at all.
I'm surprised.
How do coaches don't get a gold medal?
I'm surprised coaches get a paycheck for this show. You know, I think, like, maybe you should do this pro bono, my friend.
You know, last time I looked at my...
I think he was trying to make a joke that just didn't come off
right. It just
didn't
hit, man. Yeah. It just didn't hit. We ain't got that camaraderie for you to be joking like that. We ain't got that camaraderie, cuz. I don't know you like that, bro. Say your name.
Wow. Out of everything that could have gone better in that quote, I think it's the producer. You got to get him to break. You got to roll the video highlights.
Fast.
You know, let's go.
Fast. You got to put something up there real quick.
Yeah.
Change that teleprompter fast. All right, let's see what else we got right here. Hey.
I said I cried, Lord have mercy.
I cried, Lord have mercy for them Cowboys. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes and Reverend Ike. Yeah, this is my peoples right there. We got a church sound man that was struggling to get the mix right. Bishop Mike was a little too loud. Now, I understand he's the bishop of the church. His mic should be loud. I get it. It was just a little too loud. My man was trying to sing.
Yeah, sometimes I...
Ha 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 ha!
This gets better. This gets better.
Get that mic mix.
Yes.
Get that mic mix together.
That's when you bring home the karaoke machine and you have 4 and 5 year olds
yeah,
at the house.
What are we doing?
I think that dude needed some auto tune or something. That felt a little user error. He's just really singing, I know, I know, I know. I'm like, if you knew, you'd stop.
I know. I know. All right, let's see what else we got. One more before the Mike McCarthy coming, checking down the line, listening to my ear, and I just, all I hear is Clarence talking.
You'll hear him breathing.
All I hear is Chill talking, holding court. All right, let's go to L.A.
Probably roasting their ass.
Yeah. L.A. Dodger second baseman, Kiki Hernandez. Mm. He's on Fox, the post game, talking like it's just you and me.
Particular teams.
Are we live?
We're live.
The fact that we don't give a
All right, thank you, Kiki.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you again.
Joe, back to you.
All right. Kiki Hernandez.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
Joe Davis. All right.
Not a big fan of going live in the dugout.
Wow.
Kiki. Guess we'll kill that bit. The Mets games.
They'll double down, man. They'll double down on that.
It's like, only if this is going to be an FCC violation.
Yeah,
to cuss right
double
now.
Down.
Yeah. He said, we live? Yeah. Bet.
Perfect.
Bet. Say no more.
I bet you won't. Watch this.
That's it for me. Hold on. Let me listen down the line again.
Okay. Is it our champion, the influencer, Bradley Wellington III?
No one's there.
Reigning champion. Is it Sam Mitchell on the pregame show, NBA TV? You had the Church Day Blessings with a hot microphone.
I know.
Need a new mixer.
He is tripping.
Or is it the Mets' Kiki Hernandez? I'll vote Kiki. Chief, how about you?
I think I got to go with the... Sam Mitchell crash out.
I 100% would have put my finger up, that church finger. Yeah. When you're in the congregation, put your finger up, pay attention to the Lord, and walk my ass right up out of there.
Yeah, let's get to lunch. Yeah.
That sounded like an SNL bit there after a while. Lucius, who are you voting for?
Let's see here. What am I voting for? I guess it'd be Sam Mitchell crashing out, man.
Brian?
Yeah, it's Sam Mitchell.
By a score of 3-1. And your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Sam Mitchell. As we lick our wounds here on a Cowboys Monday, Mike McCarthy press conference is it's loading.
Hey, what was that, a flea flicker in the second quarter, fam?
It was like a double, it was like a reverse flea flicker. Bro, the Brad Sham highlight call of that is comedic.
That is no respect for you.
It's
no
like
respect.
It's cartoonish, as if you were trying to paint a picture of like a movie of a blowout situation. That's the play-by-play call that you would hear Brad Sham describing the double reverse flea flicker touchdown.
It was a bleep show in every way imaginable. It really was. And now we go into a Mike McCarthy press conference, and you gotta, you know, wonder, how's he feeling right here at 3-3? You know, you're gonna coach your final 11 games. You're probably not gonna get fired.
No,
Jerry Jones gave you a pretty good defense last night.
Yeah.
But you can't feel good about, you know, your long-term future here in Dallas.
I'm kind of interested in the tone that the media is going to take today.
Yeah,
because this will be, I believe this might be the last time you see Mike until next week. So yeah, I wonder what the tone will be. I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that are asking these media members who ask the questions to, okay, you know, try and press a little bit here and really kind of get some things, some see if you can get some questions answered here. I'll be interested in the tone today.
He's about to be super, super
defensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be crabby.
I mean, out of things that you would have changed in the game plan, obvious stuff beyond passing more on first down, not running Zeke. Those would be my two biggest complaints.
Yeah.
You're not going to bridge the gap, but it's just, it's like salt in the wounds when you see a bad game plan.
I can understand not giving Zach Martin any help. I don't know how you go into a game and not want to help Terrence Steele, especially when you got the left tackle. They left their tackles one-on-one 85% of the dropback snaps in this game.
Oh my gosh.
85%. You know, and you took care of one spot by moving Tyler Smith out there. Not that Tyler Smith was perfect. There were a couple of times assignments wise he went down inside and there was a free rusher on Dak. You know, but You know, but, you know, at least it gave you an opportunity. Like, if you have Guyton out there, yeah, you're worried about the left tackle, right tackle. This one, you're kind of worried more about the right tackle. But 85% of the time for both those guys, I mean, hey, you know, that's, to me, that's not thinking about your quarterback. The one thing you needed to do is be able to throw the football yesterday, and you couldn't really do it with any efficiency.
Did you watch the film yet, Broadus?
I did.
What do you think about the tackling?
It's,
oh my,
it's awful, right? Yeah. Like, we need real life tackling drills, like fundamental type of situations.
Yeah.
They do this thing where they ram into them, they crash into them, and if you don't fall, then maybe I'll hold you up and move my feet and we'll wait till the whistle to blow and now you're down. No, man, you're supposed to wrap up, move your feet till that fool falls.
Yeah.
They don't do that. No. That's old school stuff, bro.
Nobody wanted any part of David Montgomery yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to you, Lucius. Montgomery's first 12 carries, they had first 10 carries, they had 12 missed tackles.
Wow. I've seen so many missed tackles in my life. They look so bad at tackling, man.
It was a problem yesterday for sure. It really, really was. They the thing with the Lions, they do such a great job of blocking that front. They really do. They get up on your linebackers. And you got young linebackers playing it. Just, you know, they've seen it before. They saw it in the Saints game. They saw it in the Ravens game. But instead of playing like 18 snaps and getting off the field, they're playing, you know, 65 snaps. They're playing the whole game. So now it's even more difficult for them.
We're going to get off the field right here. Come back when Mike starts talking. The Cowboys presser is next in the G-Bag Nation. All right, here we go. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and we're standing by for the Mike McCarthy press conference coming up in just a second on the heels of the worst home loss in the Jerry Jones era. It's never been as bad of a drive home as those fans had yesterday, at least the Cowboys fans. Seemed like there were a lot of Lions fans in the house, Brian. They were having
a
good time.
Yeah, Eric and I were out in the plaza doing the pregame show, and the Lions fans showed up. They were loud during the game, too.
They were really loud during the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could hear their cheers, especially by the end. And when you heard Cowboy fans yesterday, it was really just them booing at times.
Yeah.
Some of those Lions fans took off the personality of their coach.
Oh, yeah?
It kind of feels like that. They're all rowdy and crazy and everything. Unless that's how Detroit has always been, and he just fits it right. I don't know.
Well, he's definitely cranked up the volume on it for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're a gritty bunch.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's got to be a lot of fun after everything they've been through to be that team. Now, obviously, the Aiden Hutchinson storyline is an interesting one. But, yeah, how far away do you think the Cowboys are right now, Eric, from becoming contenders again? Is this a one-off season? Is this multiple off seasons? Like, how much of a foundation do they have of you know, in the NFL, things can turn around quickly.
They totally can turn around quickly. I think the problem is just what the ceiling is for this team. When you talk about them being in contention, you're really just talking about them at best winning a playoff game. I can't see a world anytime soon where I can envision them being a true Final Four kind of team, championship contender, Super Bowl contender. I don't see that at all. But you can snap your fingers and get back to being double digits and in the playoffs in relative no time if you make a couple of strong moves in the offseason. That's all it really takes.
And why do you not see that? Because of their cap management combined with Dak? Or,
Yeah. Just the way they go about business. There's no reason to believe, as long as the people that are the decision makers are still the decision makers, that this thing's going anything further than one single playoff win per season. That they don't prioritize it. And so until that happens, then, I mean, and when it comes to the players, the guys that you've paid, the guys that you're supposed to be building around, those guys also have sucked. And that really, like, it's like, okay, I understand when I look down and I see four guys on the defensive line that weren't even here when we were in Oxnard together. Like, those guys weren't even on the team. It's like, I can at least understand how they're going to get pushed around by the best offensive line / offense really in the league. But when you're paying Dak and Lamb and Steele and Martin and Diggs, and they all are on the, basically the, they're getting posterized, like they're on the wrong end of highlights left and right. I mean, Diggs doesn't even want to tackle anybody. Definitely don't want to tackle Montgomery, but he don't want to tackle anybody. But he also can't cover Jameson Williams. So what are you doing here?
I guess I kind of feel like from 2016 to last year, they were close enough that like one other good player, which is realistic, you know, you got to hit on one or two other draft picks, and the right coach would get them there.
Yes, right? The right coach. The right coach. You had to hit all the right notes, and unfortunately, they can't hit that coach note. They haven't proven to do it.
Yeah.
Other than Jimmy, you haven't been able to do it. Yeah. So I have no reason to believe that the next guy will be that guy.
Yeah, they got to stop paying guys they like. I mean, and injured guys. I think ultimately that swept out the legs from underneath them. Their running back management, some really, you know, disappointing contracts as they played out. And Terrence Steele is as big as it gets right there. But, you know, I do believe in this front office, Brian. You know, but that run where you had Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, you know, obviously Ron Leary was in there, Doug Free was in there. Then you put in Lyle Collins, and this thing was just humming, you know, and it created, I think, an identity for this football team as a winning team, a successful team. But you take that away now, and you ask Dak to play with more pressure, and you can't put in running backs and get, you know, solid production from anybody because the offensive line is worse. I just hope they're not deteriorating to the point that they look like the Giants. You know, we've seen teams just not be able to recover after glorious runs. Like, was that supposed to be the golden era? And now we're in a post golden era reality without three Hall of Fame offensive linemen anchoring you. You know, Tyron Smith leaves. Guess what? Yeah. Your offense is significantly worse. You're facing a lot more pressure. Like last year when he stayed healthy for 13 games, maybe that was a temporary reprieve from the slide that we're experiencing. And the trend's not good. Organizationally, the era's not up. Jerry Jones last night, this was very concerning and it was very humbling. This was a shocker. You know, what action are you going to take? You said that after both Niners losses. You said that after the Packers loss. Here we are. We assume Mike McCarthy's done. I believe Mike McCarthy is done.
Yeah.
But what are you going to change with your process, your desperation level, your urgency, the way you manage the cap, the process of governing a football team? What are you going to change to give yourself a better chance? And I don't know. You know, Brian, you worked for the man. You know, when he talks about things are very humbling, this was a shocker. How could this be a shock to you? I think he's just using words after a loss.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of using words after losses. Quarterback standing up there and talking about practicing harder and stuff like that. But,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of where we're at. On my notepad, I wrote down head coach, defensive line, running back, offensive line. It's kind of when you start talking about changes and things like that, you need to think. They clearly need a different direction when it comes to, if the guy's going, if the head coach is going to be the primary play caller, then I need you to be better at your job than what you were yesterday. You know, I kind of felt like, I mean, last week there were some things you did I thought were pretty decent. You know, got yourself, found a way to get a win. But, you know, you had to be the difference maker. You had to. You probably weren't going to win that game. But you couldn't let your team down the way you did yesterday. And I think the head coach, the quarterback, the offensive line, the defensive line, I mean, these are all things. Running back, these are all things I have to look at. And now there's a side of me, too, that, and I know, Eric, you were very, very much on board with this. You know, I wonder if there's these people that wonder about the quarterback. Should they just let that thing ride and just rebuilt the thing from then on, you know, and just said, you know what, we're going to let this thing play out, and whatever happens, what happens. You know, we'll deal with the quarterback situation at the end of the year.
There's no doubt in my mind that the best football we're trying to win a Super Bowl decision would have been to let that ride. You know, I feel like
you were consistent about that, Eric. I give you credit. You really were. You said, hey, let this thing ride. And you know what? I wonder now from a team building perspective, if that probably was the right situation, because then you can make a clean sweep and try and kind of figure everything out at the end of the year. You say new head coach, maybe the new head coach gets you the different quarterback. You know, maybe you get a bridge guy. Maybe if the record's not good enough, it allows you to draft a guy. I'm like I said, I think there's several of these quarterbacks in this draft that are actually going to be probably pretty good pro prospects.
When your team's good, he gets you to the wild card or divisional round. You know, you add Gilmore and Cooks and you're like, okay, then let's really go for it. You keep Tyron Smith healthy and it's out, you know. And then when your roster has to get overturned a little bit, it's not even like Baker Mayfield last year with Tampa, you know, where you made the playoffs and, hey, we're coming out of this pretty good. This looks like one of the worst offenses this organization has ever put forward. it's an embarrassment against quality football teams. Like, this is really bad. And, you know, I just wish that the organization looked at things more of a bottom line, that we need to do whatever it takes to get a Super Bowl. And I don't know how you could look at the previous 8 years of Dak's career with the Cowboys and think we're getting closer. You're getting farther away. And now he's less athletic, you know? And the less athletic you are, the better decisions you have to make and the more accurate you need to be with your footballs. And we've known Dak hasn't been accurate since we saw Jason Garrett and David Carr destroy him in passing competitions. You know, and nothing has happened on the football field to change your mind. Like, there's some good throws every now and then. Heck, the throw that he had over the middle to Turpin yesterday was just so right on the money, right in stride, you know, when the game was still somewhat in the balance. And I was like, man, if we can get more of that from Dak here throughout this game, maybe they can go tit for tat for a while. But then the horrible decision, you know, to throw the football away, it just exposes what it's like when he's under a real life amount of pressure. Like, he got the debut in the ultimate quarterback ecosystem. What do they call that? The perfect type of
environment.
Developmental environment for him. You know, it was like, hey, here you go. Here's great protection. Here's a number one wide receiver. Here's a tight end. Here's a slot wide receiver. And, you know, as a result,
running game.
He jumped in and took off and was great, but he's never been able to catch up for all the progress that he's made as a player. He can never get this offense to be as efficient as it was in 2016 when, you know, he was a rookie. And I think that's because he's only going to be as good as his surroundings. And, you know, even that wasn't good enough, you know, in the times when his surroundings were outstanding. So we'll see what Mike McCarthy has to say about it when we come back. It's the G-Bag Nation here at Cowboys Monday at 877-881-1053. And have the NFL news of the day coming up for you as well here in the G-Bag Nation.